the way out? Do you guys figure the way out? Anybody? Hate to tell you, there's no way out. But what's is God always gives a way out. Last week we started a sermon series. I want to say I love you guys being here this morning as we think about God and what God's doing in our life. And last week I began this series on temptation and the reality that when we're tempted, temptation does not come from God. It comes from the devil. It comes from Satan. It comes from those desires in us. And that God always gives us a way out. Sometimes anybody ever feel trapped by sin, by situations, by circumstances? You feel there's no way out? Well, give a way out. I'm going to kind of look at that this morning, but this is the second one in four. Next week, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit, what role he plays in delivering us from temptation. And then we're going to look at, like, the last week, I was kind of looking along the lines of, how do you feed the things that grow and starve the things that don't? You know, and so we're going to kind of look at those things. But I kind of want us to think about this morning, how do we fight temptation? How I deal with those things that are tempting. Now, to make this message really work, I got a favor I'm going to ask for you. Now, you don't have to do this. I'm going to give you a way out. This is just up to you. So get your little outline out right now and follow along. Because here's what I want you to do. I want this to be really meaningful to you. I want you to have the tools. This is my prayer this morning, that you have tools to defeat your greatest temptation. So what I want you to do to help you really get something out of the beginning is write down your greatest temptation. Now, I'm not going to ask you to share it. You know, we're going to have a time of confession. You know, no, we're not going to do that, all right? But I think it'd be beneficial for you, as we go through this, to have a picture in your mind of that thing that causes you to stumble the most. That greatest battle in your life. You know, what is it for you that just hangs there and is tempting to, you know? Maybe, let me give you some hints. Maybe overeating. You know, you're like me, that seafood diet. I eat all the food I see. Anybody? You know, and so maybe that. Or maybe you need a sugar fix. Anybody? You know, donuts. Come on now. I'm going to talk about donuts again today. You know, I love spice drops and orange slices and Oreo cookies at your refrigerator. You know, and you know that sugar fix, or maybe you battle overspending. Maybe you're trying to get out of debt and you want to move beyond the debt and you want to be debt free and you battle this overspending and you're trying to get a rein on overspending. Maybe there's a substance. Maybe there's an addiction. There's something that just kind of sucks you in and pulls you in. Or maybe you're battling lust. You know, those images that just kind of pull you and just kind of take you in a direction you know you don't want to go. And maybe there's that lust in there. Or maybe you have the gift of criticism. Anybody? You know, that spiritual gift that some Christians seem to have. You know, and we fight those things. Now, again, you don't have to write anything down, but I really want to tell you, at least have it in your head. What is that thing that just causes the greatest struggle in your life, that greatest battle in your life? And write it down if you would, but you don't have to. But get it focused in your mind, kind of get it fixed in your mind. Now, if you're sitting there and you're going, I can't think of one, but I'm sure glad so-and-so's here. You know, I'm going to help you out. I'll give it to you. It's called pride. Thank you. I heard somebody. Big bold letters, all right? Pride. Because we're all tempted. None of us have arrived. I'll give you a hint. If you think you've arrived, you're dead. Or you're almost dead. One of the two. Because temptation is a reality. And here's that verse we base in the whole series of message on. Let's see what it says. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Reminds me of a saying. Anybody ever hear this saying? Pride comes before the... Oh, yeah, you see it there. You know, as I was thinking about writing down the worst thing, maybe you ought to write down the one that you do the best do. I could deal with this one the best. Because you know what? Sometimes the one we think we do the best is the one that Satan takes us out on, isn't it? All right, no temptation has overtaken you except that is common to mankind. Everyone's tempted. Mankind is tempted. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will always provide a way out. Circle that. The whole point of the whole series, God gives a way out. Always a way out. Sometimes we feel trapped. Sometimes we feel pinned in. But there's always a way out so that you can endure it. I like that phrase. Now, make sure you get a picture here. He's going to give a way out, but guess what? You're going to have to endure. I don't know about you, but I want a way out where it's gone. Anybody? I want a way out where I don't have to struggle anymore. You know, I want a way out where it's the past. It's a long time ago. It's gone. But temptation is, the way out is a journey. The way out is a battle. It's a fight. It's the struggle that we have and that struggles that we face. But there's always a way out. I want us to think about that. Now, last week I shared with you the donut situation. You know, our ladies have that Bible study on Thursday morning. And they bring donuts. And they have extra donuts, so they leave them in the refrigerator. Remember, I told you that last week. You know what they did this week? The donuts weren't in the refrigerator. They were sitting on my desk. Yeah. Now, ladies, it's okay. All right, please leave me the extra donuts. See, here's the question. Here's the problem. I told you. See, when I was younger, I could eat 3 donuts and a big thing of chocolate milk and go to work. I'm older now. I can have 1 donut and chocolate milk. I guess my wife opened the door and said no. I get 1. Can't I have 1? They left 3 donuts. So just so you know, they left 3 donuts on Friday for me. There's 1 left. See, I've had 1 a day. How do we fight temptation? How do we deal with it? There's nothing wrong with donuts. There's nothing wrong with food. How do we fight this battle that goes on in us? How do we deal with the struggle as we wrestle with this? And what is this? But I think it'd be helpful to kind of get the process. How does temptation work? How does it play out? How does it wiggle its way in our life? And in the book of James, he wrote these statements. I kind of closed out last week with it, kind of planted the seed for it for this week. This gives us the process of temptation. Temptation comes. This is how. How? Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful action. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. He outlined the 5 steps of temptation. All right, here's the 5 steps. He says it's going to be your desire, so I wrote the word thought. It begins when we think. It begins in that thought process. I desire that. It looks good. It would be good. I desire it. And then our imagination kicks in. We start imagining what it would be like. It'd make me wise. It'd make me happy. It's good for me. I need this. And then we go from that. We begin to justify it. And we begin to give the reasons why I should do this. It's okay for me to do this. And we begin to justify it. And then we make the choice. Then we make that choice. I do it. And then we sin. So I use the phrases like this. My desire is my thought. My imagination is my enticing. Justification drags me away. That choice is my action. And in the end, sin brings death. Is that true? See, that's the process we go through. Let me give you an illustration. Back on donuts again. Yeah, I had to write donuts on mine. Driving down Riverbank. There's a Kohl's and a Target and a Home Depot and a Red Robin and a Krispy Kreme. Come on now. You guys know, right? You guys, there's a Krispy Kreme. And there's a light that says hot. Those are the best ones. All right. Now, here's what, you know, my thought, my desire. I'd like a donut. Anybody? The hot light's on. Okay, I want a donut. My favorite Krispy Kreme donut is the custard-filled chocolate donut. Anybody? Now, it's best, now listen, it's best when you get that. Now, here's my imagination, okay, my thought is a donut. My imagination is I want that chocolate-filled, I mean that custard-filled chocolate-covered donut cold. So I take that donut home and I put it in the refrigerator. So get the feeling nice and cold and it's good. The chocolate is solid and it's really good. So later in the day, after a while, after it's been in the refrigerator, and if I want it quick, you put it in the freezer so it gets quicker. All right. So then I pull out my mouse glass, 16-ounce Mickey Mouse glass, pour a glass of milk in there, Nestle's quick, stir it all up. Yep. My imagination, right? You know, I start figuring out how I want to do this. And I haven't had a Krispy Kreme donut in a long time. Matter of fact, I cannot tell you the last time. I think it was here when we did something. We had Krispy Kreme donuts out here. That was probably the last time I had a Krispy Kreme. So, you know, so I deserve it. Yeah. And then my choice. Now, here's my choice. Here's where it really gets good. My choice is, when I'm buying my chocolate-covered, custard-filled donut to go in the refrigerator, I'll eat two of the hot ones. All right? And if I keep doing that, I'm going to die of a heart attack. Am I right? Isn't that how sin works? You know, it begins with our thoughts. It begins in our head. It begins with we're processing. Let me give you another one now. I'm not going to pick on ladies. Guys, you can have tools, all right? But I'm going to talk about a dress because I don't own one. But you're sitting there and you're just kind of lonely today. Nobody's posting anything on Facebook for you. You're just kind of, it's kind of just a bad day. You're just having one of these bad days, you know? And you're thinking, you know what? You know, if I bought a dress, I'd sure feel better. It my mood. You know, I would feel, and so you begin to think about that. And you begin to think, you know, and then you're as you're thinking about buying the dress, you start thinking, you know, and then I can post my picture on Instagram. And then all my girlfriends that say, kissy, kissy, I like that. Yeah. Now, you guys are laughing because you know I'm telling the truth, right? You know, and so your imagination starts going like that. And then you justify it because, you know, I haven't bought in a week, you know. And I deserve it. And then, you know, you're sitting there, do I get the red one or the blue one? You know, now you got to make the choice. Yeah. And then you push. Oh, I got one click on Amazon. Remember, buy one click. Anybody got the buy one click on Amazon besides me? Boom. Hey. Prime, 2 days. You know? Isn't that how sin works? You know? Now, how about a guy, you know, I'm going to pace two, you know, and I'll talk about the hardest thing guys face. You know, it's like you're sitting there and you're kind of bored. You know, you're just sitting there and there's nothing to do and you're just bored, you know, nothing on TV. There's nothing on the honey-do list, or at least you've avoided it for long enough, you know. And so you're sitting there, and you just pick out your phone. And you say, I'll just kind of surf the net on my phone. You know, and you start surfing the net on your phone, and all of a sudden, you know, there's this picture, you know, and it's like, but pretty soon it's like, it's all right, you know, it's not bad. And you just kind of, you know, well, God gave me those desires; they're okay. You know, you're taking this legitimate desire and using it in an illegitimate way, and you're justifying it, you know. It's a victimless crime. You know, they're making money, and I get to enjoy it. And you make the choice, and click, click. And sin ends in what? Death. It kills you. See, and so we need to see this, and I wanted to make sure you get this pattern here. Because here's what I want us to do this morning. The reason I ask you to put something down is most of the time we start fighting sin at the justification point. Because that's our society. See, our society justifies everything, doesn't it? Look at our world today. Everything is just, you deserve it. What's that? Who's the commercial says you deserve it? Come on. You know, you deserve it today. That was some commercial. I can't remember that commercial. Or how about the old one? You got have it your way. You know? We get these, and our society says, you know, justify. We justify it. It's okay. Everybody's doing it. Nobody's going to see me. Nobody's going to know. It's just me. It's the way God made me, and it's God's fault because God gave me those errors, and we justify these things. See, I think we wait too long to fight temptation. See, I gave you those five things because here's what I want us to do this morning. I want us to fight temptation at the beginning. See, I want us to fight temptation with the thought. If we can defeat temptation at the thought before we get down there, doesn't that work better? At the thought. I shared with you, there's things that I'll sit around the house and I like potato chips. Now, here's what my wife and I did one time. We enjoy potato chips, so you buy the family size bag. There's only two of us. You know, the big bag, right? So you have sandwiches or hamburgers and you eat chips. And then you have the afternoon, you have a snack of chips. And you know, so here's what we did. We decided, well, we're going to try to discipline ourselves. So instead of buying the big bag of chips at Costco, we bought the box of chips that have the little bags in them. So we're limited to how many we can eat. All right? Well, then I just take two bags. Now, come on, you guys are laughing. You know? So here's what it is now. You know what? We don't have chips in our house anymore. I want jelly beans. I like orange slices. I want them. Winco, the big round tub. You know, scoop out, get it all you want. You know, I can get a pound or I can get 5 pounds. You know, $1.19, I even know how much it is, $1.19 a pound, okay? I'll say we're going to go there, I'm going to run over there and get some. Laura, go to Kohl's, I'll go across the street, okay? But I don't go get them. I want them here, but I know if they're in the house, guess what? I'll eat them. So what I do is I don't buy chips anymore. Now, everyone, I will go, it's only a dollar. I'll go over to Winco and get me a dollar's worth. I got to make sure it's 3/4 of a pound. See, I want to challenge us. How do we fight sin? How do we defeat this within us? You know, most of it, you know, is there anything wrong with the donut? Really, no. No. Anything wrong with orange slices or... But when you're trying to lose weight, when you feel that, you know, you need to take better care of yourself, when you want to have a longer life, you know you need to do certain disciplines, temptation can really get you, can't it? Spending, you know, you want out of debt, you know, I just hate having debt. I don't want no credit card debt. I don't want to deal with it. The only debt I want is my house. That's it. And I'm getting close to paying that off. You know, I don't want debt, you know, and yet... I need, or I would really like, you know, that phone out there, or that new program, or a new computer. You know, I like that Microsoft Surface thing, you know, Surface Pro 3. My computer's old. It's 2 years old. You know, that's old for a computer. Justification. How do we battle these things? How do we deal with these things? So here's what I want us to look at. I'm going to say it this way. The first thing you need to do is you're going to have to submit to God. Got to start process. Go to the thought process. Go to the thinking. Before you even start figuring all this other out, you go back to the thinking part. You go back to figuring out. You submit to God. Because I'm going to tell you what. You're not strong enough to defeat Satan. You hear me? You do not have the faith or the strength to defeat Satan. You don't have the spiritual power to defeat Satan. You don't have that. God does. You want to know how God did it? Jesus died on a cross and rose from the grave. I'm going to take his power, all right? You get the picture? You know, I don't have the strength. I can't overcome that stuff. But the God that is in me is stronger than the devil of this world. And we need to see that. Look what the scripture says. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I think the order of this is important. We think, I just got to fight sin. I got to fight sin. I got to fight sin. I got to fight this urge. I got to fight this desire. I got to fight. I'm going to tell you, don't fight. Surrender to God. Submit to God. Give yourself to God. God, I can't deal with this. God, I can't handle this. This is more than I can handle. See, our strength is in God. Our flesh is weak. Those desires are strong. We're not designed to fight this by ourselves, even from the beginning. We're not designed to fight this by ourselves. God designed us with a God-shaped hole in us that He filled us the strength and the power. And so we need to come to this point where we submit to God for everything. Everything in our life, we need to take it to God, and we need to give it to God and let God handle it. We're not designed to deal with it ourselves. Now, for some of us, it's going to have to be this. Like I said, there's nothing wrong with donuts. But it's wrong to eat 3 or 4 or 5 in a setting. Now, maybe I stepped on your toes. See, here's what a lot of us do. We just try to deny things or sin. Anybody? Oh, that's not that bad. It's just my one thing. Anybody ever hear stuff like that? Yeah. See, some of this submitting to God is recognizing what sin is in our life. Overspending can be a sin. Anybody? Yeah. The net. I'll give you a hint. If you have problems with lust and that, get rid of your smartphone and get a dumb phone that you have to flip open that you can't get on the net with. You hear me? You got to submit to God. You got to give these things to God. And that's that battle we have. Because see, our society justifies everything. You know, it's okay. Everybody's doing it. Everything's okay. I was reading the news this week, and I'm not going to dump on it, but some college came to California at Shasta Lake and destroyed the campground. It took them a whole day to clean that campground up. Everybody's doing it. It's okay. And we justify it. And so we need to step back. Sometimes, you know, not only got to say that I need help, you got to say I need help. You got to ask somebody for help. I'm going to tell you, I believe in Christian counselors. I believe there's battles that I need somebody to walk me through to understand why is it there and why do I fight this and why do I have... I believe in Christian counselors that I need somebody to walk alongside. Now, I'm saying Christian, okay? And so we need to submit to God. We need to come back to God. And I share this with you. Anybody that tells me, all I need is God, is fooling themselves. God created us for one another. But we submit to God. And it takes different shapes, people. I have this for me, and this is key for me. And some of you know this. I have a standard in my life that says this. I want to live above reproach. That's my goal. I'm not talking about what's right or what's wrong. That doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter what's moral or ethical. That doesn't matter to me. I want to take it another level up here that says above reproach. I want to live in an area. The guardrail is here, and the trail is over there. Anybody ever drive Highway 50? Anybody ever drive Highway 50 going into Lake Tahoe? Anybody ever been up there? You know, and you come over the summit, and you start going down, and they got this little 2-foot brick wall. And right on the other side of that brick wall is the cliff. You know, I want the guardrail over here. I remember Laura and I just a couple weeks ago, we went to Hertz Castle. Anybody ever been to Hertz Castle? You go to Hertz Castle and you start down at the little reception area and you get in a bus. And Laura swears as the bus is going around the hill, she's on the other side of the cliff. We don't like that. And yet many of us with temptation, we ask this question, how close can I get before it's sin? How far can I go before sin? Is it okay to do this? Now, I'm not going to crash on alcohol, okay? Just so you know, I can't preach teetotalism, all right? I can't. I think alcohol's bad. I'll be honest with you. But I can't preach teetotalism. But is it one drink? Is it two drinks? So here's my decision. I want to live above reproach. I ain't taking one. You know? That way I don't have to worry. Well, what's too much? I don't know. I'm going to submit to God. That's my favorite song. Those guys, they're an invitation. I've decided to follow Jesus. At 17 years old, I've decided to follow Jesus. Though none go with me, I will still follow Jesus. Nobody in my family went with me. Guess what? I'm still following Jesus. That's my son. Submit to God. You want to defeat Satan? Submit to God. First thing. Don't worry about fighting sin. Don't worry about defending yourself. Don't worry about a run. I got to resist. Just submit to God. Whatever it takes. Second thing he says here is though you resist the devil. You resist the devil. It's... I really struggle here because I don't want to fight sin, just to be honest with you. I just don't want to deal with it. So, you know, the scripture, get yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's what it says. He'll flee from you. You notice what it said? It didn't say you're going to flee from him. He's going to flee from you. When you submit to God, you resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Because guess what? You got some power now. It's not my strength. It's not my ability. It's not my spiritual knowledge. I'm a pastor. I got all this spiritual knowledge. I got a doctorate. Went to school. No. You know what? I got the Son of God living in me. Satan, don't mess with me. He took you out once. He crushed your head when he rose from the grave. You thought you had him, man. Hey, look who I got tied up down here, man. He's all wrapped up in the linen, and he's all tied up. He ain't going anywhere. He's going to start stinking pretty soon. Guess what happened? 3 days later, man. What's amazing to me, think about it. That tomb's empty. The cloth's not rolled up in the corner. The cloth is laying there like he just, whoop. That's the power of God. See, that's how we resist. We resist with God. See, we think, well, I become a Christian, I don't have to battle sin no more. No, you declared war on sin when you become a Christian. It's a full-fledged battle. Look at what it says here in Ephesians 6:12. For our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authority, world powers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heaven. See, it's a spiritual battle. And it begins in your head. It begins with those thoughts. Oh, that would just make me feel so good. That new dress. That chocolate donut. You know, just looking at those pictures, it's not hurting anybody. Just one drink won't hurt. And we begin to just, we got to go back to those thoughts and fight in those thoughts. See, he who is in you is stronger than he who is in the world. Anybody on board with that one? And what's good is, I'm going to tell you what, that's scripture. That's God's word. You know how to fight? You know how to resist temptation? With the word of God. Isn't that what Jesus did? You're familiar with the story. Jesus gets baptized, raised out of the water, goes into the wilderness for 40 days, and the devil comes and starts tempting him. Three times. Here, you can do this. You can have this. You're hungry. You want power. You want authority. Here's all this. You can have all this. That Jesus didn't say. The word of God says, the word of God says, the word of God says. Those donuts, the temptation, the word of God says man does not live by donuts alone. I'm serious. You know, what is that bread? What is that battle you have? Overspending, the word of God says, we do not live by overspending alone. Anybody? Alcohol, lust, whatever. Does it work? Yeah. See, God's word is powerful. Look at what it says here. For the word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than sharpest two-edged sword, cutting even between the soul and the spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our, listen to this, innermost thoughts and desires. Where does sin begin? In your thoughts. Why don't you circle that word thoughts? Isn't God's word amazing? He knows right where to go. God's word knows right where to go to help you conquer temptation. See, the devil wants you to feel guilty with temptation. See, that's what the devil does. Well, you're tempted, so you might as well go ahead and do it. Isn't that the devil? He wants you to feel guilty. He wants you to, well, I'm tempted. That's horrible. Temptation is really a call to depend on God. Temptation is a call to come back to God. It's a call to resubmit to God. The devil uses it to tear you down and to tear you apart. Remember what I always tell you? He wants to steal your joy, kill your peace, and destroy your life. John 10:10. But I've come that you might have life abundantly. See, God's word is that tool. So I'm going to encourage you, memorize God's word. I love Awana. I have hid thy word in my heart that I may not, come on, Awana, sin against God. Those who are in Awana, you know that. One of the exciting things for me is to sit there with my grandson in the room over here and have him memorize John 3:16, to have my grandson say John 3:16. I'm going to tell you, I'm excited about that. You know, little five-year-old kid running around quoting John 3:16. Took him 3 weeks to learn it. But think about this. He's five. When he's 15, guess what? Oh, God's word. When he's 21, having to make some hard decisions in college, guess what? He'll know God's word. That's what I love about Awana. We're going to drill those words into God's word, into the kids' hearts. So when they have to make those kind of decisions, they're prepared to resist the devil and to fight the good fight. So we have God's word. We got the indwelling power of God. We got God's word. But I also want to give you this one. We have prayer. Look at what the scripture says. Finally, be strong in the Lord, in the strength of God. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Ephesians 6:10-11. Put on. How do you put it on? You go to the store and you buy it. Amazon. It's called prayer. You pray. I'll give you a great thing to do in the morning. If you're battling sin, put on the armor of God. And what's so great about the armor is, you know, it starts with a helmet of salvation with your head. Go back. Submit to God. A breastplate of righteousness is going to guard your heart. Anybody? The belt of truth. The shield. We have this armor. See, I think sometimes we're defeated by Satan because we didn't armor up. We didn't get prepared. That's what I want you to do. That's why I ask you to write something down, because I wanted you to get prepared. Because here's my point this morning. Here's why I'm going to drive this home right now for you. This way to defeat temptation is to eliminate it at the beginning. Like I said, if you got a phone and you're tempted with porn on the phone, I'm going to flat out say this. Get a flip phone. Now, I am really thankful that Krispy Kreme is over in Riverbank and Stockton. Because I like donuts. I do. Just to give you a hint, we grew up having donuts. My brother and his wife said no donuts for their kids. My dad would go by the donut store, buy donuts, put them in a bag, and put them on the tree so the kids could come out and get the donuts. We just grew up having donuts. When you go from 165 to 175 to one, never mind. And you go, I got to lose some weight. Guess what? That means I need to change my diet. I can't have three donuts in the morning. Now, I can have one, but I don't even have one donut a week. I can't say that anymore. When those ladies have Bible study, they have extra donuts. Or they have that thing that you cut up into little slices. I don't know what they call those. I eat that thing too. Anything sweet. I just thought it was fun when I came in and it was on my desk. I go, were they tempting me? Did they hear my message? I don't know. But thank you, ladies. There's still one left. I got a chocolate one. I ate this. Take this mineral, put butter on it, put it in the microwave. Oh, that's good. See how it starts in our head. You know, if you're tempted, you know, I'm going to be, you're married. You got a wonderful marriage, but there's somebody at work. And you just, you know, well, it's nothing big. We just visit. We just talk. We just have lunch together. We just sit at the same table. You know, there's everybody else in the room, but we just got our own table over here, in the cafeteria. It's okay. It's just this. It's not okay. I'll give you a hint. If that's going on, change your lunchtime. You hear me? If that don't work, change departments. If that don't work, change jobs. Marriage is worth more than any job you have. You hear me? See, we got to fight that. We got to fight that temptation way back here before it moves over here. See, because our mind starts working. Wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it feel good? Whatever it is, I don't know what you wrote down. I don't know what you have in your mind, but we begin to think these. See, we submit to God and we resist the devil. That power is in us. The Word of God, that prayer is there for us, and we have that. I love the way Solomon says this to really lay it out for us. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of the evildoer. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go your way. I love that. The best way to defeat sin is to eliminate it from the very beginning. Then you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about it. There is no candy in my house. Because if there was candy in my house, I would eat it. You know what my sweet thing is now? A bowl of cereal. It's like, I want something sweet. Sugar Frosted Flakes. I don't know if that's healthy or not. I haven't looked at the side of the box, but that's my snack. Instead of eating a donut. But I don't want candy. I don't want cookies. You know, I love ice cream. It's like, Lord, let's go get some ice cream. No, I don't want to go get ice cream. If I have ice cream, I'll eat it. Because I'm going to tell you, I don't put it in a bowl. I'm the only one in the house that eats ice cream. So I just take the container out. Pull the lid off, put the lid in the freezer, get a big spoon out, and I eat ice cream. When I get done, put the spoon in the sink, back on, put it back in the freezer. Nobody else eats the ice cream but me. I'm the only one in the house. Besides Laura, she don't eat it. Do we justify things? So I don't have ice cream in my freezer, because if it was there, guess what? I'd eat it. You know, I always get these surveys. Do you like cookies on your computer where they know what you're shopping for? I say yes. I do. I like the cookie where I'm shopping, because you know what's going to pop up? I was looking at cameras. I was looking at the Surface computer. Because if I don't look at those things, you know what's going to pop up? Here, this new bikini. Am I right? That's why I like pop-ups, because it goes for what I'm interested in. But see, that's another temptation. Especially when I don't want to have debt. That new camera, $700. Yeah, that's okay. See, I want to tell you, you've got to stay off of it. You don't even go there. Go in that direction. We'll go over to Target up there at Riverbank. We'll go to Kohl's, because you got to shop at all three different Kohl's, okay? You got the Manteca Kohl's, you got the one here in Modesto, and you got the one in Riverbank, because you got to find the right stuff. And some of them don't have all the right stuff. So we'll go to Kohl's over there. But I won't go to Krispy Kreme, because I know if I go there, you know what? I'm going to get a donut. You get the picture? It says, do not set foot Krispy Kreme. That's what it says for me. What does it say for you? Where do you not need to set foot? Foot on the floorboard of the car. Get out of my way. Get me angry if you're in the way. Again, 75 in the one lane, 65 in that one, 55. If you're not going 75, get out of the fast lane. Tempt anybody? I got the number one thing on my radio. You got the push button radio now, that, you know, digital stuff. K-Love. I'm going to listen to K-Love to help me stay calm. I do! What about you? I'm telling you all about mine. Now, you don't need to tell me about yours, okay? I got enough dealing with my own, okay? But I want you to fight it over here, not over there when it's too late. I want to help you now. That's why I asked you to get the picture in your head. Look again what it says. Flee from youthful passions and pursue right faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Do you get that? Pursue these things along with those. You got to have others with you. You got it? You know, our church, we talk about it all the time. I say you need these three things in your life. I'm going to say that. I try to say this every Sunday. I don't get it done, but I try to say this every Sunday. You need three things. You need a church home. You need a small group. You need somebody who can say the hard things to you. That's telling you, you're being a jerk. You need those three things in your life. Isn't that what, I think that's what God's Word says right here. Flee. Run away. I'm going to stay over here. I want my guardrail over here. So if I accidentally bump into it, I've got a long ways to go before I go over the edge. Because I have. I've stepped over it. Anybody ever stepped over their guardrail? Yeah. Fortunately, I had another 5 or 6 feet before I went off. I've sat there at a meeting and I've called Laura. Laura, the other party didn't show up and I'm here with two other ladies doing a school board meeting. And I called my wife and told her. Because my guardrail said, you don't eat with another woman. But there's two of them. They're both women. So when I stepped over that guardrail, I literally called my wife, excused myself, went over to the side, called my wife and told her where I was at and what happened. Because it was nice that I had that guardrail here. Because if it would have been closer to the edge, guess what? I could have been in real trouble, right? See, put it all the way over here. Start over here. Nip in the bud. So here's my challenge to you. Start with your thoughts. Don't let your imagination. Because see, what we do is it begins with a thought. Then our imagination starts working. How can we make this happen? How does it feel? And we start working things out in our head about how to make it happen. And then after we get it worked out in our head, we start justifying it. It'll make me wise. It'll strengthen my marriage. I deserve it, man. I'm kind of lonely today. I'm depressed. You know, that sugar fix to get me high. And we justify these things. Look at what it says. For because he himself was suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Now, who's the he? You know who he is? Who? Jesus. God. It's Jesus. He's tempted. Here's the picture I want to paint for you. If you're familiar with the scripture, it says Jesus died on the cross, right? Buried in the tomb. Rose from the grave. Ascended to heaven. And he is sitting at the right hand of God. And he's watching us. Anybody on board with that one? And he's watching us. And I stumble into sin. And there's Jesus going, oh, there he did it again. Can't. No! Jesus is sitting there saying, how can I help him? What do I need to do to help him get up again? How can I restore him? All we have to do is submit to God and resist the devil, and he will flee. See, I want you to have that picture in your mind. God is sitting in heaven. Jesus is sitting there at the right hand of God saying, I want to help you. Think about it. You're not here on your own. You cannot temptation on your own. You will never defeat temptation on your own. We are human beings. We are frail. It's who we are. But he who is in you is stronger than he who is in this world. Everybody on board with that one? And so we need to fight it over here. I'm going to ask you, where's that wall? Where's that wall? Like I told you, I don't drink. Not because I go to meetings and I have some friends. And we go to a meeting and they'll have a glass of wine. And you know what? That's okay. That's okay. They just have one glass of wine. No big deal. But for me, no. I worry about somebody who has a battle, who is struggling. Well, the preacher took a drink, so I can have a drink. The problem is, maybe the preacher can stop at one, but they can't stop at one. Who did I just cause trouble for? You see the battles? The struggles? I'm just above reproach. I don't know about you, but here's what I want you to know. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God, reaching down to help you, to help every one of you. He will pick you up when you fall. He will carry you when you're hurting, because he is the Son of God who loves us and gave his life for us. There is always, always a way out. I may be faithless, but God is faithful. Look at the last. No temptation has overtaken you accept what is common to mankind, and God is faithful. Circle that. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. I think those words are important. God is faithful. Wherever your battle, wherever your burden is, whatever's going on, God is faithful. You may be faithless. He may be stepping on your heart. Satan may be saying, see, you're no good anyway. You knew you couldn't do it. Why did you even try? Anybody ever hear that one from Satan? You know you couldn't do it. Why'd you even try? Anybody ever hear that one from Satan? Wouldn't make you feel guilty? Make you feel useless? Make you feel you have no value? That's what Satan did. Write that. John 10:10. Memorize that. Maybe that should be the memory verse. This is a good verse. Memorize. But John 10:10. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Steal your joy, kill your peace, destroy your life. That's the devil. Whatever it is, that Jesus comes that you may have life. I'm going to ask you this morning, do you have life? Do you have life? God wants to, if you don't, God wants to pick you up. He will lift you. He's not sitting there saying, I knew it. I knew they'd never make it. He's sitting there saying, I'll pick you up. He's reaching out. His hand is outstretched today for you. If you're hurting and you're struggling, His hand is reaching down from heaven. He's sitting at the side of God, reaching for you to give you a hope, to let you know there's always a way out. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths, that you love us, Lord, and that you care. You're not there looking to condemn, but you're there watching us to pick us up, to lift us up, and to even carry us. You know, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, you identified a battle you're having this morning. Maybe you wrote it down, or maybe you just said it in your mind as I went through the message this morning. And you're looking for a way out. Or maybe you're looking to put that guardrail 10 feet from the edge. And you're battling. And you want some God's help. If you want me to pray for you, just shoot your hand up. If you want me to pray for you in the middle of that battle. Thank you. Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. I see it. Anyone else? Thank you. Lord, you've seen the hands of those who have the courage to be honest about the battle they are fighting. Lord, they know they are weak. They know they cannot defeat it on their own. They know they cannot stand in the power of man. So, Lord, I come with them resubmitting their hearts and their lives, that they can stand strong, not in the power of their will, but in the power of the mighty God who conquered death, who overcome temptation. Lord, fill their heart with encouragement. Fill them with life. Take what the devil has stolen and replace it with your love. Take what the devil has killed and renew it with their spirit. Lord, empower them to turn before it even comes, to shut it off before it even starts, to fight a good fight by not fighting and resisting and running the other way. Let us not walk on the path of the wicked, but on the path of the righteous. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's positive our service. We call it an invitation. I'm just here to pray with you. I'm here to share with you. I don't know what God is doing, but it's your time to look at and respond to God. I'm just here to pray. Maybe you've never crossed. Maybe you've never submitted to God.